Canada's immigrant selection process needs to be revamped to focus on admitting people with Canadian job offers and skills needed by employers. That's according to a new report. It was done by Patrick Grady and Herb Grubel, and it was released today by the public policy think tank, the Fraser Institute. And Patrick Grady joins me now here on CFRA.
Thank you, Rob. Nice to
see you today. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome, Rob.
What did you look at? What did you analyze? What did you study?
We looked at the census data to see how many immigrants had come in recent years and how well they had done economically and how their income compared with that of Canadians and the taxes that they paid. And then we used this data along with other data from Statistics Canada on government revenues and expenditures to estimate the net fiscal transfers that went to immigrants.
So let's get more into the numbers. So the number of immigrants coming in. Let's start with that.
Well, there was a very large number of immigrants over the period, something like 4.3 million in the period, or 3.8, depending on the period you consider. Not all of them stayed here. Some of them moved on. We don't know where because we don't have data on that.
Right.
But the main reason we did this study was to see if the arguments that are constantly being made in favor of more and more immigration, that we need immigrants because of the economic contribution they make to Canada, are actually true. My colleague Herb Grubel did a study in the past using very crude data that suggested that was not the case. So we wanted to use the most recent census data and see if it was still no longer the case.
And what'd you find out?
We found out that the recent immigrants earn much less. They only earn about 72% on average. These are immigrants that came after 87 when the number of immigrants was increased so rapidly and the source countries was changed from the traditional source countries. After that, there was a big switch. And that on average, they paid about 57% of the income tax. And if you use this information to analyze government revenue and expenditure, taking into account the different categories of spending and the different types of taxes and doing the allocations of it, you come up with the conclusion that they're getting over $6,000 more in benefits than they pay in taxes. That wouldn't be a problem. Obviously, you expect some citizens to be getting benefits from the government if they have low income and other people to be paying in. But the problem is that Canada has a huge deficit problem currently, and it also has a huge aging of the population problem. And as people age, there are going to be greater and greater claims for pensions and for health care. And you would hope that the immigrants that were being selected would help to alleviate this problem and not be such that when these particular immigrants age, they're going to actually have greater claims on the fisc than they currently do, because they'll be eligible for pensions. And as people get old, they obviously have greater health care needs.
So immigrants, looking at the data that you looked at, earn less money.
Yeah, they earn less money.
Pay less tax.
They pay much less tax.
But as a proportion, so given that they earn less and pay less, do they use less government services as a dollar figure? And
no,
you're saying they
use slightly less government services, depending on the assumptions you make.
Right.
And that's largely because the increase has been recent and they've not yet got to the stage where they're qualifying for government pensions.
It would seem then that one of the conclusions you could reach is that in terms of public policy, and we're trying to frame this in public policy terms, that there's a disconnect between immigration policy, economic policy or fiscal policy, and healthcare policy. That really our economic circumstance should coincide with our immigration policy, and our healthcare funding and our healthcare funding needs in the future should be tied to, in some way, our immigration policy, but that we've developed a disconnect as though the numbers aren't in correlation with what our needs actually are.
There's no way you can show that current immigration policy makes economic sense in terms of bringing in people that are going to make a greater economic contribution to Canada than they get from their share of government benefits. It's just not the case. There's other reasons why you bring in immigrants. We have refugees that come in because of our international treaties. There's social reasons for bringing people in. But the problem is that the main arguments in favor of greater and greater immigration have always been economic.
Right. Skills shortage.
Skill shortages.
Right.
Which is hard to believe when you have just gone through the world's, the most severe recession we've had since the Great Depression, and we still have reasonably high unemployment.
Right.
And it's, you know, in the recent immigrant community, the unemployment rate is twice as high as it is of native Canadians.
In other words, one would assume that, okay, if Canada does face a severe skilled shortage, if we need so many doctors or lawyers or carpenters or plumbers or...
I doubt we need so many lawyers. Yeah.
Good point. But, okay, engineers, university professors, what have you, then why is it that so many people who are brought in as immigrants, why are their numbers substantially higher in terms of unemployment? It would not make sense, would it?
Well, I think the one finding, this doesn't relate to this particular study, but other studies show that the labor market experience that immigrants get in their own countries, particularly in third world countries, are completely discounted by employers. And also education credentials that come from third world universities are given a pretty healthy discount, which shouldn't be surprising if you standardized tests like the International Adult Literacy Survey shows that a university graduate from some of these places does not score much higher than a high school graduate in Canada. So comparing just because we have a system that gives points for university education and doesn't make any distinction between whether people come from Harvard University or the University of Ouagadougou, you know, it's not surprising that you get some people that are not capable of finding remunerative employment once they get here, except unskilled labor.
Let me ask you, during the depths of the most recent recession, we were still bringing in, fair to say, record numbers of immigrants.
Yeah.
As many immigrants as we've ever brought in.
Yeah, record numbers. Yeah.
Right. That was not the case during the Trudeau years. I mean, a lot of people blame Pierre Elliott Trudeau for opening the floodgates to immigrants, starting us down the multicultural path.
It wasn't actually true. Brian Mulroney that opened the floodgates.
Because Pierre Elliott Trudeau did tie, in some way, immigration numbers to economic performance, yes?
Yeah, they had the traditional tap on, tap off. And there was a much more of an effort to relate immigrants to occupational demand, which the government is not entirely qualified to do, but it seemed to have result better than the current policy, given the smaller numbers.
What should Canada be doing now that it's not doing currently?
Well, I think the government has shown that it's completely incapable of running a sensible immigration policy, and that our proposal is to leave it to the private sector, let the employers screen prospective employees, and employers generally, when they're hiring somebody, they do interviews, which the government does not do now when they're screening immigrants, and then they would have to decide based upon the credentials that the immigrant has and how they value those particular credentials, including credentials for skilled jobs and occupations. Skilled laborers, some of them are very valuable, type plumbers or pipe fitters. And as long as they're willing to provide a guarantee of a job here at a wage that's sufficient to match that of other Canadians, let them in.
Let me ask you this, because I've had a number of conversations with Jason Kenney while he's been Canada's immigration minister. Whether it be immigration minister after this week, we'll have to wait and find out for the cabinet shuffle. But he once told me that, say, a skilled immigrant comes over from overseas or from Africa or Asia, where have you, that typically what will follow will be, in some instances, as many as 7 or 8 family members.
Yeah, that's true.
Moms, dads, kids, cousins, what have you. What impact does that have on Canada's economy, Canada's healthcare system? It must be tremendous.
Yeah, it's currently only about 17% are principal applicants, skilled workers. So the rest of them are from other categories. It's amazing, actually, but... the family class people don't do that much worse than the ones they pick out. Which, what does that tell us?
It says a lot, doesn't it? Right.
Yeah.
If we read between the lines, it certainly says a lot. Yeah. Okay, Patrick Grady, very fascinating conversation along with your colleague Herb Grubel. I encourage everyone to take a look at some of the information contained in this report that was sponsored by the Fraser Institute. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you very much, Rob.